The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thank you for joining us. It's the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan, and this week we're in the boardroom at the Radio Academy as guests of its chief exec, Paul Robinson. Our topic is the forthcoming Radio Days Europe conference in Dublin. And to help us find out more, let's say hello to one of the principal organisers, Rolf Brandrud from Norwegian Radio.
Yeah, I'd love to be here.
also, distinguished member of the organising committee, none other than radio consultant Nick Goodman.
Hello. Unfortunately, I haven't got as good an accent as Rolf has there.
But we're going to start with Paul, because Paul, you were one of the hosts of Radio Days last year in Berlin, and of course you were at the Radio Academy's own radio festival recently in Manchester. How would you compare the two events?
I went to Radio Days Europe for the first time last year when it was in Berlin, and I was really impressed. I loved it. It was a fantastic event, and what I really enjoyed was this opportunity for broadcasters all over Europe to share issues and discuss issues which actually we have in common. And I think you can often, you know, be in the UK or be in any country and think maybe the problems you're facing, whatever they may be, whether they're content or competition or digital or, you know, whatever it is, that you're actually on your own. And the reality is you're not. And I think what was really startling for me was how strong the community was in terms of sharing, you know, sharing solutions, sharing ideas, and sort of solving these things, you know, not necessarily getting all the answers, but at least, you know, the issues were out on the table. And the other thing I think was there were a range of presentations I'd not seen before. There were fresh things I hadn't come across before, which I found really stimulating. You know, when you go to an event, you want to have some takeaways, and there were definitely takeaways, and I'm not talking about the excellent food.
Nick, you spend a lot of your time in Europe. Why are we, the Brits, so snooty about going abroad? Is it just the word Europe?
I think it is. I think we are snooty about it as well. I think that we are, by definition, quite insular. So I think we think that all the radio that we do in the UK is the best possible radio there is in Europe, and there's nothing that Europe, even though we're part of it, has to offer to us. So we tend to think the BBC is the dominant public sector provider, and that's great. They've got lots of good ideas, and we're brilliant at doing commercial radio, aren't we? Why would we need to look to Europe? But having spent quite a few years trekking around Europe and various different radio stations, they've got some great ideas in Europe, and Radio Days Europe is a fantastic platform to go and hang out with these guys and girls and see what they do differently to us. And guess what? We can even learn something from them. So I think there's a little bit of snootiness, a little bit of kind of Britishness about that. Ooh, those European radio stations, are they broadcasting in English? You know, and after you've got over that hurdle and kind of speak to the programmers and the marketeers and the sales guys, you suddenly realise they've got some fantastic innovative ideas and we can learn something from them too. So that's why I think it's a good thing.
So Rolf, give us an idea of the numbers. I think this is one of the really impressive things about Radio Days Europe. How many came when it was in Copenhagen 2 or 3 years ago, and how many did you get in Berlin, and how many are you now hoping for in Dublin?
We have a very nice curve, really. We started with 400 in Copenhagen the first year, 600 the next year, 800 the third year, which was in Barcelona, and then 1,200 from 50 different countries in Berlin. So if we manage to keep a curve like that, that would be beautiful. But it's a bit farther to travel to Dublin. So if we reach 1,200, we are very happy. And, you know, this is a really big crowd, and it's not only from Europe, 50 different countries. And you have people coming from Canada, Australia, US,
South America. Are the Russians coming again with their interpreters?
The Russians are coming again. It was 90 Russians coming last year. And, you know, kind of they said, we're bringing our own interpreter. And they were quite excited, really. And I think they will be coming with about the same level this year, and also with interpretation. And by the way... we will also have French interpretation this year, so Russian and French.
Now, you were saying that it is a long way to go for people, particularly in southern or eastern Europe, but of course for the Brits, it's just across the water in Dublin. Are you hoping that you will get more British people this time?
That's part of the point, coming to the British Isles.
I thought it might be.
It is indeed. And, well, we are talking to our different partners. Radio Academy, the BBC and others. And also we are cooperating with BBC Northern Ireland, who are one of our local partners in Dublin, and they're all very enthusiastic. And I think something was changed after Berlin. You know, first you are the new kids on the block. Now we are the established kids on the block, and people know something about Red Days Europe. That's the place to go. And if you are going to two conferences a year, then probably for a Brit it should be Radio Festival and Radio Days Europe.
Let's go to Nick. Now, you've sat around that organising table and heard the debates, contributed to them about what's going to be on the programme. Let me ask you to pick out some highlights that you think listeners to our podcast would be particularly attracted by.
Well, first of all, it's important to say that there is a good representation from across Europe on the organising committee as well. So we've got a Dane, a Swede, a Norwegian, a German, a Slovenian. There's a Portuguese. Is that the right word for
Portuguesa?
A Portuguesa. Portuguesa lady. And two Brits as well. So there is a good cross-section of Europe represented there. And there are a lot of people who approach Radio Days Europe with session ideas. We bring ideas to the table as well. We also try and evaluate what are the current hot topics. So what are people talking about? What should be represented? And what we don't want to do is recycle the same old ideas again and again and again. And dare I say, one of the criticisms that dearly departed NAB Europe, remember that, had was that there were a lot of Americans turning up with ideas of sessions that A, you'd heard before, and B, weren't even relevant for Europe.
So were trying to sell something to us, didn't you think, most of the time?
They were, and you know, if you've got a longer podcast, I can tell you some excruciating sessions that I sat through where you'd go expecting
snake oil, snake oil here.
Learn something, and they'd try and sell you a session for 2 hours. You'd be sitting there trapped in a hot room somewhere.
Okay, so what are the hot buttons that you're going to press in Dublin?
I think there's some really good sessions to look forward to. My favourites that I have picked out include Larry Rosen, who is a fantastic researcher who runs a company called Edison Research. He is an American, but don't hold that against him. He has a fantastic understanding of European radio, and he's coming to talk to us about iTunes radio and the impact that iTunes radio has had in the States and any lessons that we can learn here. This ongoing debate about these streaming music services, are they an opportunity, are they a threat, where do we sit on that? So I think that'll be a fascinating session, up with some really, really good research. We've got a bit of showbiz in the form of Tony Blackburn. Ooh. And, you know, it's 2014 is Tony's 50th year in broadcasting. And we thought, what better way to celebrate that than to get a real veteran of broadcasting who's been there and done it, seen all the fads and the trends come and go. And Tony's going to be sharing some of those stories with us. So we're really looking forward to that. And Helen Bowden as well to come and share BBC's vision about radio. So there's some really good kind of Brit sessions as well. And we've got some crazy Australians and some cool Canadians and a whole host of different things. So not just programming, that's the side I'm more interested in, but also strategy and sales. And, you know, Rolf can pick out some of his favourite ones, I'm sure.
Yes, I think, like we heard here, that radio has some common challenges, and reaching the 16 to 24-year-olds certainly is a big challenge. And in Britain, they have their ways of doing it, Radio 1 and the BBC and so on. We are going to listen to Radio 1 from Cologne in Germany and Le Move in France, which, you know, have new, fresh strategies on this. I think that's going to be really good. Another person which will be really fascinating to hear is Andy Carvin. He was the social strategist of National Public Radio in the US. During the Arab Spring, he kept in touch with 30,000 Twitter friends and kind of worked on a way of how do you use Twitter as a journalistic tool. When something comes as a rumor on Twitter, how do you find out what is true, what is not? How do you find out through a lot of different contacts, not just only the correspondence and so on?
Because you've called the conference, you've given it the subtitle Connecting Radio. It seems to me as though that's going to be one of the big themes, isn't it? That it's impossible to just be a radio journalist or presenter or producer anymore. You've got to think multi-platform.
Yeah, certainly you have to do that. And I think that's a major thing with Radio Days Europe. If you think of radio, you have three phases. First, it was the monopolies. Then it was the crash on competition. And now we've moved over in a phase where radio is like Helen Bowden says, in the biggest transition ever. And the task now is developing the radio medium, finding the right convergence between broadcast and interactivity. And there, everybody are trying out ways of doing it. And some have more resources, some have less resources, but the creativity brings up solutions which you can be inspired with across the borders, and there it's a lot of things.
Paul, do you get the impression, as we head into 2014, that we are an industry that's begun to accept, perhaps a bit slower than we might have done, that we do need to change, that we can't just go on doing the same old thing that we always did?
Well, I think part of it is not complacency, but the reality is that radio is still very well listened to, 90% listening for 23, 24 hours a week. It's still a huge medium, and in that context, as a consumer medium, nothing's really changed, but everything's changed in the other sense. You know, it's interesting, Rolf was talking about Twitter, and, you know, the guys at Twitter now refer to Twitter as the second microphone first screen for radio, which I think is really interesting. And, you know, Twitter is an amazing tool, because the thing about radio that it's always had and has still is his ability to be something you can consume while you're doing something else, and your ability to react instantly. You can make a decision and it can be on the air immediately. In television and other media, that is not possible. But Twitter is that too, of course. You know, Twitter is instant. And, you know, I remember, you know, the days when we used to have postcards and goodness knows what to respond. Now you've got Twitter. What a brilliant means of connecting to your audience. So I think Rolf is right. If radio's got compelling content, and I personally believe that you know, what the presenter or the voice says is important, because actually your iPod will always do a better job of choosing your personal favourite songs. But the reason radio's powerful is because all that packaging that goes around it and that experience. But at the same time, you have to make sure you're relevant to the audience, and that's where social media and the new technology can really add value.
Nick, you want to come in?
I just wanted to pick up on the point about connecting radio and the tag, because we thought kind of long and hard about it, believe it or not. And there were three strands to it. It's firstly about connecting with other professionals. And let's not kid ourselves, it's great to go and hang out in the bars after the sessions and have a little party. And
it's a social network.
It's a social thing, right? So connecting with other people in the radio industry across Europe, I think, is a really, really important part. Secondly, it's about how radio stations can connect better with their customers. You know, there's a lot of pressure on sales, especially with what's going on with Google and that their internet, you know, chipping away, it's particularly at local. You know, it's more important than ever, I think, to connect with your customer base. And thirdly, how can we connect with listeners continually? Things are changing. We know the Twitter example is a great example. And how can we do that? So there are three strands, if you like, to connecting radio. And we hope that we, you know, have reflected all of those in the programme.
And Rolf, you're going to do that same kind of streaming, are you, at the conference, where, you know, there are three or four things going on at the same time?
Yeah, we have four parallel session lines, and they will not be exactly like that, but the three major themes would be strategy, technology on one side, content on another, and sales on the third, and then a line of company presentations, which our sponsors get into. But I thought about one thing we talked about here, you know, connecting with our audience. And we have one session about successful digital strategies for the digital transition. And there, one of the projects are a project in Norway, the so-called P1 Plus, which is targeting the 50 plus generation. They are really buying.
Why are you looking at me, Paul?
Trevor, isn't it?
One way ticket to Oslo for Mr. Dan, I think. Yeah.
And me too, sadly.
Yeah.
That sounds very exciting.
Really. And what they're doing there is that they're putting the best known, but a little bit more years behind them, on this new channel. And people are really wanting to, you know, how do I get to hear my favorite program hosts and so on?
Geriatric FM, I'm all in favor.
I think a new D2 format has just been born. That's what I can say.
I think you should, to try and get more Brits to go to Radio Days Europe, you should build on the reputation of Scandi drama. You know, you should have more sessions about Borgen, because, I mean, there is a Borgen radio series, isn't there?
Yeah.
And, you know, with the killing and, you know, we'd all go to see that, wouldn't yeah, we, if yeah. Birgitta was there?
Yeah, John Nesbø and yeah. all those people, yeah. We have Mammon running in Norway right now, and it's sold to 50 countries. So it's, you know, Scandinavian.
Yeah, these guys are the future.
The peaceful Scandinavia is producing the most bloody series yes, all
there
over.
There is a format as well you were telling us on the television, admittedly. This is knitting, is it? Is this the big thing in Norway at the moment? So we've had, you know, Celebrity Bake Off and the Great British Bake Off. Stand by, because if we're importing lots of Scandi stuff, Celebrity Knitting will be coming to a channel near you soon.
Knitting on the radio? That's going to be a challenge.
Knitting on the radio is great. And, you know, burning wood.
Burning wood on the radio.
And then watching it on television, listening to it on radio. You know, slow radio is the new fad.
I think we're going to draw this brainstorm to a close.
I was just going to say, Trevor, actually, aside from the knitting and the slow radio and the burning of wood, actually, Dublin's a great place. You know, actually, a good reason to go is because Dublin's a great city, you know, and you'll have a great weekend or a great few days there.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll look forward to it. The dates are...
The 23rd to the 25th of March.
And how do we register?
You go to our website, www.radiodayseuropeinoneword.com.
Substantial discounts still available?
Yes, until the 10th of February, our partners are getting good discounts.
Well, you'd be a fool to miss it, wouldn't you, Nick?
Indeed. And can I add to Paul's declaration of Dublin being a fantastic city? It serves the best Guinness anywhere in the world. It does taste different in Dublin. And if you see me after several of my sessions, I will be getting a splinter cell together to do a little bit of a pub crawl on most of the nights. I'll be there. So look forward to it.
Nick Goodman, Paul Robinson, Rolf Brandred, thanks for joining us on the Radio Today programme this week. Go to Radio Days Europe and book yourself onto that conference in March. Let's have some radio news now, shall we? From Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thank you, Trevor. Nation Radio has had a format change approved by Ofcom this week after a formal consultation. All the station wanted to do was take out the 15 to 34 age range and is now just a rock station instead of a rock station for a particular age group. Changes at Radio City in Liverpool as Simon Ross leaves Breakfast to front a new mid-morning show. He signed up for another 2 years, so any rumour of a network mid-morning show for Bauer can now be squashed. Unless, of course, he's hosting it. Celador's group creative director Richard Johnson has ended his part on Jack Bristol's Breakfast Show to concentrate on the expansion of the group. In unrelated news, it's only a few weeks till we find out who's buying what from Global Radio. And Communicorp's group PD Liam Thompson is swapping Dublin for London as he replaces Pete Simmons as content director for Magic 105.4. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo. Sharing voices with the world.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
You and David Lloyd. Radio Moment.
Is it really 11 years ago this week that Yorkshire first heard this show?
Ah, dear me. Good morning, it's 6:02. Number one for Dance and R&B, this is Galaxy 105. Good morning from Hursty, this is brand new to Galaxy 105. This is your new breakfast show. This is Hursty's Deli Dose. I'm Hursty. Hi, she's Jojo.
I'm still here, guys. Still here, only just.
We've dusted her down and given her a shaking back and she's flying now.
Hursty, Danny and Jojo are the show which has run and run now in its 12th year and on Capital Now with a million listeners. Another show which may run and run began this week 4 years ago.
I think it's like a footballer who gets through to a grand final. You know, you're so nervous up to the build-up, but once the whistle goes, you know, you do what you do. So I just can't wait to get on, to be honest.
Good morning, friends, and thanks for tuning in to the 11th of January 2010, a big day, because representing England, Geoff Ross from Clacton-on-Sea and his lovely wife Janet are celebrating their 47th wedding anniversary. Representing Scotland...
The first Chris Evans Breakfast Show on Radio 2 this week in 2010. One voice very much part of Capital's early years was Michael Aspels, and this week he's 81.
Yeah, the most frightening thing about starting at Capital Radio was that I'd never had to do any self-op before, never had to work the machinery, always sat behind a glass and waved a languid finger at the BBC and someone else put on the records, put on the tapes, switched on the microphones and everything else. And I had to learn to do that. I was so frightened of the huge earphones, I'd only ever worn those tiny Bakelite BBC jobs before that perched on top of the head. So somebody, I think, nicked a pair so that I felt at home, and I wore those for the first few days, and then they broke me into the big ones.
Hello, Lisa Howard of Charlton. 11 years old today, congratulations. This is just for you from Boz Skaggs. From Tony and Rose.
Happy birthday, Michael Aspel. This week, 41 years ago, the first commercial radio transmitters which were to carry Aspel and others were switched on in London. Testing began for Capital and LBC.
You're listening to an engineering test transmission being made by the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
We're transmitting on 557 kilohertz, that's 539 metres, and also 719 kilohertz, that's 417 metres in the medium wave band. And also now on 95.8 megahertz FM in the VHF band. These tests are in preparation for the opening of independent local radio in London this autumn.
Those early days were challenging for commercial radio, and it was this week in 74 that the Independent Broadcasting Authority, then the regulator, held its first London Local Advisory Committee meeting, where the great and the good shared their views on the new stations with their regulator. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall. Ray Moore was one of the great Radio 2 voices, and he died this week 25 years ago.
27,000 cups of tea, and nobody's less surprised than me, Lynn. But many happy returns of the day, and congratulations to the pair of you, Lynn and Doug. And a lady called Audrey Sayer, who's down in Weston-super-Mare in Somerset, says she wants me at about 7 o'clock on Thursday morning. For quite what devious reasons, I haven't the foggiest idea, and probably it's just as well I don't know. But cheers to you, Audrey. She sends...
Ray Moore, and there he was on his last show, and he must have known how close to the end that was likely to be. Ray died this week in 1989. We all know our influencers, and Jack Jackson was the influence for Kenny Everett and Noel Edmonds too. Jack died this week in 1978. He'd been a trumpeter and a bandleader, but remembered by our radio brethren as one of the first to use comedy snippets as part of his radio act.
You see, my name is Jack Jackson, and I work for the BBC.
Well, I am sorry.
Hello there, record lovers everywhere, and welcome to the show.
Oh, God, gramophone records.
Farewell, Jack Jackson. Over the years, the BBC had wrestled with the possibility of creating a rolling news channel on radio. But this week, 23 years ago, it suddenly became a reality. In 1991, as military action began against Iraq, Radio 4 launched Radio 4 News FM to cover what became the first Gulf War.
Air raid sirens are sounding again here. Since the news of the attack on Baghdad, there's been a flurry of activity at the Ministry of Defence. Cars have been arriving. At the hotel where we're staying, the guard at the door is now wearing complete chemical warfare equipment. A man's coming out with a towel across his face, presumably because he's worried about the risk of chemical attack. Police cars and civil defence cars travelling up and down with flashing lights.
It was compelling stuff, wasn't it? BBC Radio 4 News FM, known internally by the name derived from the missile often spoken of, Scud FM, and a useful test of what became Five Live. As BBC local radio in Devon and Cornwall rises to the challenge this year of floods, it's right we should remember that this week those stations celebrated 31 years on air.
Yes, there it is, a piece of music which we hope you'll be getting to know pretty well in the months ahead, the Radio Cornwall main theme. This is BBC Radio Cornwall. My name's Chris Blount, and, well, if you've seen any of our car stickers driving around the county lately, you'll have read that we'll be making waves soon. So it seemed appropriate that we should take...
And across on BBC Devon, what does the day hold?
And later on, we'll be mixing in lots of information and entertainment. And, of course, every day we'll have our link line service, when you can phone in for specialist advice.
This morning, we'll
be starting off the link line by taking a look at another new service, which is Breakfast Television. We'll also be sending our radio car to Sidwell Street in Exeter City Centre to see what you think about early morning TV. So I hope that you'll be joining us, John Pearce and Irene.
Talk about television, it seems. So with One Word and Core closing 5 years ago, Radio Aid 9 years ago, Talk Radio becoming Talk Sport 13 years ago, and WABC launching in the Black Country 25 years ago. WABC Radio, nice and easy. Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments. Thank you, as always, David Lloyd. Other credits this week: the Radio Academy for hosting our discussion about Radio Days Europe, Caroline for the tea, Roy Martin for the news, and of course our sponsors, without whom ... Next time we'll hear from the blogger Matt Deegan about why commercial radio should perhaps be spending more money on marketing. And we'll catch up with LBC's latest recruit, Ollie Mann, who's augmenting his Answer Me This podcast with Overnights on 97.3. Till then, let me know what you're thinking and what you're listening to. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. This has been a TDC production. Ta-da!